Hey, Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Eric Koch episode part two. What I liked about this episode is how he talks about the mental challenges before entering the octagon, as well as, his preparation. And also, he's a buddy of mine. I've met him through Xbox Live playing Destiny. So, it was interesting and good having him back. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. Team Coca-Cola, Team Coca-Cola, Team Coca-Cola, Team Coca-Cola. We have a very special guest tonight, WFE fire team member, also UFC fighter. He goes by the Phoenix, Eric Koch, part two.
Give myself a round of applause.
You dipping or what? What's the deal?
I'm dipping.
Are we going to do this?
I'm dipping some mint grizzly.
Yeah, got some mint grizzly. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Doing better now that I got a chew.
I haven't had a chew in a while. What was that song all about? That was like our inside
that's
song.
Our Destiny song.
That's our Destiny 2 song.
That's our Destiny yeah. 2 song.
Whenever. How the hell are you so damn good at that game?
It's a gift.
How are you so damn good?
Dude, I put
your
so
hand.
Much,
you know
I
what?
Put so much time into that
hand,
game.
Hand-eye coordination.
Hand-eye coordination. Speaking of that, we were just watching some gameplay. Of some of our last gameplay that we twitched.
Yeah.
And Griffin. Griffin's hand-eye coordination.
It's not that
we
good.
We got to work on it. We got to work on it. Dude, we're thinking of putting a count,
Yeah.
Whenever he says,
Give the ranking of the team members. Who's the best? You're on top.
Rankings, obviously me.
He's number one.
But I will say, and this isn't just because this is your show, you're number two. And we always... I've been saying it for a while now because he's been competing with my KD, and whenever we try to give Steve props, he doesn't want it for whatever reason.
I didn't say it.
He's always like, come on, man. Come on, man. No, man. I'm not that good.
You are. Okay, just to let...
This guy... Okay, hold on. Before he talks...
Give him some background information. We're talking about Destiny 2.
I called it. I told everybody that Steve is a secret player. And what I mean by secret player is he hides his profile on offline, so we can't see if he's online, and he plays by himself.
Babe, is that true?
Oh, you just got called out by your own girl. She did...
But you know what? It kind of helps me because it doesn't give me the pressure. Just hear me out.
Okay.
I understand that it's wrong to do, right? Because should be playing with you guys, right?
Right.
You guys are my team. But it puts the pressure off me where I could do single queue in, and it helps me practice stuff I normally wouldn't do when I'm with you guys.
Okay.
Like, I could use different weapons. I could use something other than the Mita multi-tool.
But you got to understand, you could do that with us, too.
I'm self-conscious of
who's competing with you.
No, because I'm competitive. Well, I'm competitive with Frank. I'm competitive with Craig. I'm competitive with Griffin. Not you, because I know I can't catch you, because your hand eyes like on some crazy Terminator level.
And I'll say this. I think you could use whatever you want and still do better than all those guys.
You think so?
I really do.
Thanks. That makes me feel good.
Yeah,
wow,
man.
We got to get a part three with you.
I know, right? Okay, we're going. We're supposed to go to the Korean barbecue after this.
Yeah, I know, dude. How many times has Craig brought that up?
Twenty times today. He's been talking about it all day. But we got Griffin.
Are you in there with them and not like wringing each other's necks?
Let's just say I've been there for.
I'm staying with
General Craig. So.
And
right
Craig literally lives on the other side of that door.
I will say, I've been here, what, 2 days?
Yeah.
Seems like it's been a week already. Craig, man. Guy's a trip. I love the guy. But speaking of that, we have a group chat going. And, you know, right before I came in here, we're talking about where we're going to go for the Korean barbecue. And I'm like, well, I'm about to do Steve's show. I'll text you guys after.
And what did he say?
And Griffin said, oh, Coca gets a part two on the Stevie Weeby show. So I think even Griffin's a little salty.
You know what? I would love Eric to come
and
back
Frank
here.
Too. Frank was.
He'll get Frank's on
hurt.
Here.
You know who else is hurt? Who? Most hurt? Who do you think?
Craig. I've asked him, dude.
He said you asked him a million years ago and haven't asked him.
Does he want to get on here? Does Efros want to get on here?
Here's the thing. He's going to
I will go there right now. Get him on here, dude.
Should we bring him in?
Does Efros want to? He's been on here before.
I know, but you know how Craig is. He like, no, man, it's okay. But then when he's like talking about it later, it's not okay.
Is he getting salty?
He's getting salty. There's some definite salt going on.
He's mad because his dad's a producer, a Hollywood producer.
Right,
you know,
right.
He's done Star Trek. And, you know, if you guys are open to it, I'm going to say it now. You know, Mel Efros, Craig's dad. I would like an older guest. He would be the oldest guest on this show.
Yeah. I'm sure Craig.
Accolades too, though, right?
Yeah, he's done other movies, too.
Just being the oldest guest.
No, he's like a Hollywood OG producer.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go back to you, though. This is cool to talk about Craig.
This is my show. I love Craig.
I put that in there for you.
So you should get your shot sometime.
So you're the UFC, thing. You gained some muscle here.
I've gained some size.
So you're going up a weight class.
So I am going up, and I haven't really told anybody, just some people that are close to me. I'm going up. I'm fighting at welterweight now.
That's 170. That's 170 pounds.
That's 170 pounds. Yeah. You know, for my last fight, it was a good fight.
That was tough for me to dude. It was tough.
It was a good fight.
I know, but it was just because like I don't watch it. Like we're your homies, you know what I mean?
Right.
You guys, we're like family now. So it's just this. It's probably similar to the
you
way
know
my
how
brother.
Frustrating it is to keep doing podcasts off a loss. This is like territory I'm used to. I knocked him out and I got 72.
Who was the last guy you fought?
Bobby Green.
You took him down, though.
Super cool dude, though.
But you took him down.
I took him down in the first round.
Yeah. Did you gas out? Did you think you gassed out?
I didn't. So I'll say I fatigued, but it's not in the same way. It's not like my lungs were burning and.
Yeah.
What happened kind of back end behind the scenes? So I weighed in at 55, right on the dot.
Was it tough making that weight? Let's just tell the viewers
how tough it was. It was tougher because usually at 55 when I get to the UFC the fight week. So we do that Tuesday. Yeah. We get there Tuesday.
Okay.
When I get there Tuesday, I'm about 167, 168.
Oh, you have to cut that much?
I'm drinking 2 gallons of water. I got a lot of water in me.
Is that a tactic you guys fighters do?
That's another tactic.
So you go in the sauna and you can just like sweat it out?
It's not even sauna. It's kind of like getting your body used to carrying 2 gallons of water.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then as soon as you drastically take it out, you piss all the excess water out because your body is tricked. It thinks you have more water than you really do.
Oh.
So you flush it out. It flushes you out.
And then you lose more weight.
Oh, wow.
So How many pounds could you lose doing that?
So you doing that, if I get there at like 167, I'll do the sodium cut and then I'll wake up. So before I have to do my last push, you know, the morning of, I'm probably like 150. So I got like 4 pounds because we get the pound allowance.
Yeah.
But this last one, I came in at 171.
For 155 pounds?
For 155.
Wow.
And UFC now, they're smart. They got people monitoring our health and make sure we're doing the cut safe. And I actually, after fight, got the letter saying, hey, you came in what the percentage of, you know, the percentage they want you coming in a little too heavy. Because I was coming in perfect, like 68.
Yeah, because Max Holloway, like, he struggled with that, right?
He took the short notice fight.
Yeah.
They just said, we're not going to let you.
It's too dangerous on your health.
That wasn't on Max. That was they
on the board.
They said he couldn't do it. He would have tried it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But
so I came in at 171. I made the weight. The weight cut was rough. It was a little harder than the one before.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is now UFC weighs you before you compete. So when we get to the arena, the night of, like as soon as we get there, they check your weight.
Why?
Just to monitor, see if you put on some weight,
Right.
I'm sure they got a bunch of other reasons because they put a lot of money and they make sure they're very scientific
healthy.
About
Yeah.
I weighed 185 pounds. I gained 30 pounds in less than 24 hours.
After you weighed in?
After I weighed in the second time.
Damn.
So I gained 30 pounds. And a lot of times when people cut weight, you think that's what you want. You want to gain a lot of weight. But you got to think, with my frame, I'm not keeping as much muscle as I usually do walking around, right? Mm-hmm. When I cut to 55, I'm really lean.
And you lose speed, don't you?
Well, I lose speed because because
you're heavier.
That 30 pounds that I put on isn't muscle. I'm putting on water. So it's like I've got a weight vest of water on me, Damn. It was my problem at the end of my 45 career. Like, that was my issue. 55, but, once I hit the 27 mark and I started putting on, like, man size, the cuts get a lot harder,
Yeah.
At this point now, I want to be walking around about 185, easy cut to 70, and I don't want to be above 185 when I fight. I want to be fast. Yeah. I want to have energy. What happened in the last fight is the lactic acid buildup and just carrying around that water, just muscle fatigue.
So when do you start feeling that second, third round?
Mm.
You're good the first round, yeah.
Well, you notice even the Guida fight. First round's good.
Yeah.
And then the second round, I just lose. It's not like I lose everything, but I'm just a step behind. I'm a step behind. So, I train with all guys that are bigger than me.
Oh, you do?
185ers, 170ers, and I always feel I'm never getting overpowered. That's not an issue for me. So I feel like it's smarter competing at a higher weight class. Everybody for the longest time thought cut a lot of weight, be the bigger guy.
But they want to be like cut as much as they can to be the bigger guy. Yeah?
And you can see that. You see that with guys like Sage Northcutt and Darren Till. They're younger dudes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cutting weight is a young man's game. At 45, I'd do the same. I'd walk around at 185.
You could make 45.
I would take 2 months to do it, but I'd cut down to 45 and then I'd eat and I was good to go the next day. I had gas for days,
Wow.
It's just a young man's game.
Yeah.
The older you get, you just got to be smarter about it.
Wow. So just to let the viewers know, cause not everyone could relate to your profession. Like what all do you have to do to get your mental's right before you fight? In the locker room before they call your name out, what's the process like before you go out to octagon and everything?
I think probably for people that have watched Jens Pulver's documentary.
Oh, no, I'm a big fan of his, though.
He's a cool dude, super cool dude. But
he's an OG, dude. That's back when BJ Penn
The first lightweight champ.
He was a badass.
He put it perfect way. He said it's like taking a plunge. It's like the nerves, you get to the arena, everything's good, but I'm eventually going to fight. You watch the fights go one by one. They get knocked down. You're getting closer.
When do you want to fight on a card, at the beginning or the end?
I love fighting in the beginning.
Because you get it out of the way?
Because it's like you go to the venue, I'm first on that. So, as soon as you get there, there's no waiting around. You wrap your hands, you start warming up, you go. I love that.
You love that?
Because
you would think the longer you wait, you're in your head, or you could, trip yourself out, right?
Well, that and when you're earlier on a card, you can easier... It's easier to figure out what time you're going to be fighting.
Oh.
You can kind of plan it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Later cards, when I fought Darren Cruikshank in Ohio, I don't think we fought till 11:30 at night.
Damn.
And I kind of got, because they thought some fights were going to end, didn't end. They kind of
went
lasted
to the very
long.
End, yeah.
And then I'm just kind of, I warmed up three or four times.
Damn,
so it's kind of
that
messes with you a little bit. I mean, not crazy, but if I had my way, fighting early is the way to go.
So what the most ideal is maybe second, third fight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, anything there is fine.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, if you're a main event or something like that.
Yeah.
Like staying up super late the night before, making sure you sleep through the day.
You want to do that?
Well, what I like to do, because no matter how gangster you are, no matter how much of a badass you are, everybody's nervous when you fight. There's a lot on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be nervous.
How nervous do you get? Like how, like.
I'm super nervous.
Like worse than wrestling, like before a wrestling
match.
Well,
yeah. You know why?
Because I used to get nervous.
You get punched in the face. I don't, and we're on national television.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get knocked out cold on national television. That's embarrassing.
Is that stuff, that's the type of stuff enters your head? You think these things?
You know, not before a fight.
Yeah.
Not right before a fight, but it's something through camp. That's why we push ourselves to prepare so hard, because we don't want that to happen.
No.
We want to train and do as much as we possibly can. That's why I think the scariest thing about fighting is finding out when you got to fight, because then you know how much preparation you have to put into it.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When fight night comes, you got nerves, but it's more exciting nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, okay, yeah, I'm about to fight a guy. This is some real shit. But it's like all that hard work finally pay off. I can finally go out there and fucking do it.
Put it all out there.
You know? So,
man.
I wouldn't even say, I'd say it's 99% mental, because the mental capacity is what drives the physical. If I don't have a strong mentality to push and train hard every day, then that's my mental edge.
Do you think that's why Connor's so up where he is? 100%. Because you know what I'm saying?
Connor, I look
at his press conferences, he talks so much crap and he gets into the opponent's head, and you have to wonder, like, there's probably a method to that, like did that to her, but you know, Connor's the master at that,
well,
right?
And you know, like, it's the same thing that Connor says. You know, he speaks this way, but it's out of confidence. He speaks the way he does because he tells himself he can do it,
like Mystic Mac.
He's always ready. He prepares very well.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes out there and executes it, and that's why he has a mental edge. The reason he has a mental edge on everybody is because everybody knows it's true. They know he's a beast. They know he works really hard.
So
they know when he says shit, it kind of messes with him. He gets in people's heads.
Oh, right.
So
so
yeah,
is that relevant in the fight game? Like, do you have to talk crap in order to get into the opponent's head?
No, not at all.
You don't?
Not at all. I think there's...
Because Rose doesn't.
Especially in the UFC, there's I don't know, it's like a kind of like a crossword or a crossroads.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Since Connor came along, now you got a lot of fighters trying to emulate that.
Yeah, I noticed.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they try to copy him.
Your Colby Covington.
Yeah,
and stuff
they try
like
to
that.
Copy what he's doing.
But the difference is Connor's a good actor. He's a good actor. He puts on that persona, but that's genuinely him. That's him.
Yeah, yeah.
You got these guys now trying to make these fake personas that just come across fake.
Yeah.
So I see him, and to some people...
Have they tried to do that to you?
No.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like
yeah.
Some people, you know, some people that watch it, they dig it up. They eat it up because it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
when like other fighters or other people that know what the deal is, they're like, come on, dude. This is terrible. It's kind of hard to watch because it's...
Yeah,
terrible shit talking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Have you ever been in a situation where you had to kind of talk, like get in someone's head?
The only guy that we got into it a little bit on Twitter and stuff like that was Dustin Poirier. And that's just...
Oh, because you have a rivalry.
That's just because it's kind of like a rivalry.
Yeah,
because we
he's
both,
still around too, right?
He's doing great, man.
Yeah.
He's smashing people, man. I'm proud of him.
At 155?
Yeah. You know, we both come from WEC.
Oh, you
and,
do? Okay, he's from
and
there,
we
too?
Came up at the same time. At the same time. And everybody, even Tyrone Woodley, you know, he trains at Rufus Sport now. He even says, and it drives me nuts, but he's like, you guys are like doppelgangers, dude. Like, you guys are like the same guy. Like, the way we talk, what we like, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that on top of it, I'm just like, huh. You know, it drives me nuts, you know. But he's doing well, man. I'm super, like, he's fun to watch.
Yeah,
just from, like, a fan standpoint, he's super fun to watch.
Right.
And I think he may be getting a title shot against Khabib. So, I'm rooting for him.
Oh, yep. Dude, that's like, what is it about Khabib? Since you brought him up, what is it about Khabib that, what makes him so good, like, in the fight game? Because you think that you guys have, like, the set skill.
He used to wrestle bears. I mean, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, like
you
as
know?
A kid. Like,
there's a video of him as a kid, and it's not a full
it's,
grown
he doesn't
bear,
do normal wrestling, though, because I used to wrestle. He does some underhook, and he'll just, You know what I mean?
Like Russian Greco.
Yeah, right. Like Greco.
He's very.
He does a Russian Greco thing.
He's very clinch based, but
he doesn't do a shot.
I mean, maybe a single outside,
but
even if he fails it, if it gets stuff, he'll come up and clinch, and then that's what I've noticed with him, and I noticed a friend of mine has been lobbying for a fight against him, Ben Askren.
Oh, okay. I know Askren.
Yes. Askren's like
he's an NCAA double. They used to. He used to have an afro.
Yeah. Yep.
He used to wrestle for Missouri.
The Funk.
Or Wyoming. One of the two. Was it Wyoming?
Missouri.
Mm-hmm. He was a champion.
Him and Woodley wrestled together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy is the most frustrating guy.
Why isn't Askren get a show in UFC? That's another question no one's really asked.
I mean, that's between their talks, you know. What? I don't know what the talks are like between
Dana
him and
doesn't like
I mean, I don't know. It's between him and Dana. I don't know what that is.
Dude smashed everyone wrestling.
Oh yeah. Well, and in his fights, he's undefeated still.
He's undefeated.
Undefeated.
Why isn't a guy like that in the UFC is my question.
I don't know. But I mean, Ben after his last fight retired, but I think that only lasts as long as he's not in the UFC. If he gets a call up from the UFC, you know, then I think he'll take it. Because he wants to fight Khabib, and that would be an awesome
fight.
Who,
Askren?
Yeah, Askren and Khabib.
Could he make the weight?
Yeah, he can make it.
Because he wrestled higher in college.
He did, but I think he could lose because he's not a big 70er.
No.
He just outclasses everybody. He's funky.
His wrestling
was funky.
He's
so good at wrestling. Like, yeah, he doesn't need size.
Nope.
So I think it might be hard for him
because
he's not a small welterweight and he's not a big welterweight, but that cut to 55 might be a little much.
Issue. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think he could do it. He's done harder things.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think it would be a problem. But
like a guy like that could open up his own school, clinic, wrestling.
He does.
Okay, yeah. I was going to just say.
He has for years, but I mean, it's booming right now.
And
he's got a couple locations. But that's why he retired because he's just kind of like, well, I'm undefeated. You know, I'm not fighting.
But more people should know about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the world should know about a guy like that, right?
And if he fought in the UFC, he would. And I think that's what
It would be boring to Dana because he knows that he's going to take him down and just lay on him, right?
I don't know if Ben would even come back for. I know money's a thing.
Yeah.
For everybody. Yeah. But I think Ben, it would be more like legacy. He's already undefeated. He's got crazy wrestling credentials, and he's got his schools going.
Yeah,
I think it would be just kind of his competitive. Yeah.
I just noticed you have more mat like bulk here
everywhere. Legs are tree trunks.
Yeah,
just naturally.
How did you put on this? How did you put on this weight? This added weight.
Strength and conditioning, powerlifting, a lot of powerlifting. Kind of going back to when I started fighting in the WEC, when I started putting on a lot more muscle, because I went from being like super skinny, soaking wet, 155.
I was small.
Well, I was super skinny.
Yeah.
And then when I got the call at WEC, I was like, oh shit, I need to up my game. I need to start doing strength conditioning. Yeah. And I started doing a lot of powerlifting and stuff like that. And I just figured, you know, I don't want to be a huge 70er, but I still want to have power. I still want to have pop. So just doing a little bit just to get my body where I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I can, you know, work down and, you know, do a test cut 70.
Yeah,
see
yeah,
how
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I want to do. I want to get, like I said, get down to like 185, do a mock cut and then train the next day and see how I feel.
Who are you looking to fight for your first match at 170?
I mean, there's not even really talking about it right now. Just getting my body ready
for it. But you're still in negotiations with the UFC, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And they're planning something, right?
Yeah.
What's your ideal? What I'm asking is, who do you want to fight?
Your ideal
for the first, just to get your feet wet again in that weight division.
You know, there's a bunch of good 70ers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at this point, just, you know, give me really anybody, man. Because I'm not in the position to ask for a huge fucking name.
Yeah. Well, people don't know about you. You were in title contention with Jose Aldo. Remember back. People don't know that. A lot of people don't know that.
5 years
ago. So tell them that, like, when you were with that organization.
Yeah, in the UFC, I was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the first time Frankie Edgar fought Jose Aldo. I was supposed to fight him. We were scheduled to fight for like 9 months.
You and Frankie or Jose?
Aldo.
Aldo. And this is when he was champ?
This is when he was champ. Because I was on a streak and nobody wanted to fight Aldo.
Nobody did.
They offered, I think they offered someone else. So they didn't want the fight. So my manager called me. I said, yeah, you know, I want that fight. I've been asking for the fight for a while. And I got the fight. We were supposed to fight in Calgary. Did a whole PR thing for that. He ended up getting hurt. So then it got moved to Rio de Janeiro.
Well, in Brazil?
In Brazil, which is hostile territory.
Yeah.
But whatever.
For you.
You know, for me, whatever.
Is.
And, you know,
you been to Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Been to Rio.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something, dude.
Yeah.
We did that. And then I ended up getting injured. I tore my
knee. In training?
Yep, in training. Tore my knee like three weeks before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that, so that crushed me. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, they replaced me with Frankie Edgar to save the fight. And then found out a day later that Aldo was injured. So, you know, I kind of feel like if I would have held off and not said anything.
Oh, you could have fought Frankie.
No, not even that. Okay. They would have just stopped the fight and then maybe rescheduled it for another time. But Frankie stepped up and took it. And then when he took it, of course, it's Frankie Edgar. They want to sell that fight. So I, you know, they said, you know, that's when I fought Lamas. And that was like, if I won that fight, I got my title shot back. Damn. And that was worst case scenario when I fought Lamas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that, you know, I've been to the top.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not done. I think it's critiquing all the little things, you know, mentally being happy when I'm training, like loving training again.
Yeah.
Because
when
I was a kid, man, I was, you know, you think of like Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
They're
obsessive
about it, about training.
They love it.
They love it.
And yeah.
To an insane degree. Mm-hmm. So I've just kind of taking a little time and just kind of getting back there, you know, getting a little more size and fighting in a weight that's like, I'm not battling the scale before an actual fight.
Right.
Because when I was young, I'm bullheaded. I'll do it if it's tough, whatever. Even if I shouldn't, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
now the older I get, I'm like, why do I want to cut 30 pounds to go fight a super trained athlete the next day? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, so
when do you start in a normal, typical fight? When do you start feeling like your lungs, like when do you start getting like tired, like your cardio
going?
It
all depends. It all depends. You know,
us watching, we don't have no idea. We're like,
it all depends on the fight, like what's taking place.
Your last fight. Did you start like just going on your last fight? When did you start feeling?
Let's say about halfway through the second round.
So you're good. First round, you're good.
First round, I was straight. I was good.
Uh-huh,
and usually it's one of those things. Once you get the first round out of the way,
your nerves are done.
Nerves are gone, and you can kind of coast. Like
you could coast.
You know, we train like madmen, so we shouldn't get tired.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's not like a winding tired. There's never a moment I'm like, oh my god, mm-hmm. I can barely lift my arms. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like slow.
And
not
you feel sluggish.
A little sluggish.
Yeah.
Not like I feel like, man, I can't fight anymore. Like I'm dead tired. Just kind of like my body's like, okay, man, you're carrying a lot of weight. And we're not ready for this.
Yeah.
You know, 30
yeah.
pounds is a lot of weight to put on in a day.
Yeah. To be carrying,
to
like
be carrying it.
Added baggage.
And when I'm training, right. Even when I'm cutting down, if I'm drinking 2 gallons of water a day and I'm walking around at 170, my body's not used to carrying an extra 15 pounds. Yeah.
Why is Jordan? Why does he look so concerned?
Because just hearing it is making him like, George, why the fuck would you do that?
He is literally, you don't see off camera, George is like this.
Yeah. 30 pounds.
I was trying to think of how many gallons of water.
Yeah. Okay, that's what was going through your head, but you saw him.
Yeah.
How am I going to conquer this equation?
Usually, like when we start doing the 2 gallon water load, it's hard to do at first because you're not used. No one's used to drinking 2 gallons of water.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're training 3 times a day, so we're sweating all the time.
Yeah.
So we lose a lot of it.
Yeah.
But then your body, like I said, when your body gets used to that much water.
Yeah.
It's crazy because then you go down because the way we do the cut, 2 gallons, and then a day before you cut it down to 1 gallon, and then day of no water.
Yeah.
On that day of 1 gallon, you think it's still 1 gallon of water. I'll be okay. I'll drink a full gallon and have cotton mouth because my body is letting the water go. Yeah. Like, no, we need more water. You know,
are you still doing jiu-jitsu courses?
What do you mean?
Like jiu-jitsu training.
Yeah.
Do you have like some new, because I know you got me in some moves last time. Do you got some new
techniques that you want to really show me? Crazy.
Like you got a couple of new ones though that you could give a demonstration?
What ones did we show last time?
I don't know, but let's just get into it. Right? This is something I like doing. So I'm 140.
What did I show last time?
I'm 140 pounds.
Oh, here you go. Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you a scenario.
Okay, all right.
Because this is just high school wrestling. I'm going to, I'm not going to do it full on, but I'm going to do a high crotch, or I'm going to do a thing where I try to do an arm drag to take your back. Okay. And tell me how you would respond.
So just let me do it, okay? Right. So I go here, and then I go here.
Right.
Hey, Kirby, okay, let's say I'm here. Kirby. I'm about to take your back. Okay. What would you do here?
Okay, well, the biggest thing, if you have my arm here, kind of like Ben says, I like to peel this.
Okay, so it's hand control?
Hand control all day.
Okay, hand control.
Because if I let you keep this, right, and you have this arm, if I try to turn this way, what are you going to do?
I'm going to follow you.
You're going to take my
back. Yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take your back.
So if I put this in my back pocket, now I can turn and I can fish.
Oh!
Okay. So that was a good demonstration. I did a arm drag. Do it. Demonstrate again. So I'm going from arm drag here like this, and I'm right here. I'm trying to take his back.
I'm fighting. You're fighting.
Your
right
hand
away.
Control. Hand
because,
control.
Because look, even if I control this, if you try to do anything, take my back.
Okay. I can't do anything.
Choke me out. You can't do anything. Go ahead. Try.
Hand control.
I know. Really try. All right, so now, let's say you get there.
What if I try to go over?
That's fine. Well,
Okay.
Because if if you do it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to try to do it this way then.
Okay.
Arm drag this way. Same thing.
Look.
Oh.
And then I think we went over it on your last one.
Yeah.
So you do that.
Wait, do arm drag?
Do the same thing. All right. So I fight in the hand.
Yeah,
here,
like this.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, if I come in, underhook, I can take.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
The leg.
Yeah. So that was a.
So it's more.
What he did was a classic ankle pick. It's what they call ankle pick.
It's more. I'm not letting you take my back.
Okay.
I need to center up with you, right?
I have another question. So let's say this is the octagon, like the side of the octagon.
Right, go.
I'm gonna do a single leg. So this is like I see this a lot. I see this position a lot. I'm gonna do that leg. So it's a single leg on your left leg, okay?
Yeah.
And I want you to this is fun for you.
Okay.
Just do the defensive technique of what you would do here, okay?
All right.
Hold up. Hey George.
Yeah.
So just go here. I have a single leg here. Like this.
Yep.
So I have it locked here. I'm trying to take you down.
So number one thing.
Yeah, what would
I'm
you do
on the
here?
Cage,
yeah.
So what do you think it is? This goes back to wrestling.
You can't sprawl, really.
No. I'm gonna stuff your head.
You're gonna stuff my head.
Because if you have nothing to turn me with, turn me off the cage, if I push your head down, you can't. I mean, go ahead, try to lift, whatever.
I can't.
You can't, right?
No.
So, I mean, there's a couple options.
Yeah.
I can push one that I I like a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a limp leg because I got a lot of dexterity in my legs.
Yeah.
So
I'm
gonna turn this way.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna bring my knee through.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, it's a limp leg.
And I like it if you can do this here.
Yeah.
What I like about it is if you come in, boom.
Boom. Oh, you can knee him.
Knee. Jose Aldo, Chad Mendes, the first one.
Oh.
It wasn't quite the same.
Yeah.
But he got out. Turn with the knee.
Okay, can I give you another scenario?
Yeah.
Okay, what if, because I noticed that Khabib does this. Hold on, please.
All right.
I have you like this against the cage, underhook.
Right.
This is, Khabib likes doing
this. He loves this. Yeah.
So how do you defend, like, let's say you're fighting Khabib, what would you do to defend this?
The same thing.
Because he does this, he hits like this.
What I like about the clinch on the cage is you stop me,
right?
You stop me.
Yeah.
I can't really do anything.
Yeah,
So the biggest thing I want to do is get off the cage.
But he's how does Khabib keep the people
on the cage? Here's one that even our coaches do.
Wait, watch it though, because because you're strong. You're strong.
Think we're fighting.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We're fighting. I don't need to use all wrestling.
Yeah.
I can still jack here.
Turn out.
Oh, do that again. That was interesting.
So
I'm here.
Because your head, right? You need heavy head pressure, right? If I go here.
Yeah, I need my. Oh yeah.
I can press, and I got look.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Need yeah, I know. Let's do it again though. All right. Just display it again. So I'm here. Right.
Here.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
Here.
Space.
Knee.
Boom.
Yep. Or what else?
Oh, there you go. Ah.
Guillotine.
All right, let's take a little break. Let's take. Let's take a little break. Oh, that's so fun. It's fun, right?
I feel like every time we do this, we light a spark in Steve. He wants to get back to his wrestling ways.
But I noticed that because like the people I used to wrestle, like people don't realize like when they shoot on your legs, they're like tree trunks.
Yeah, got big.
Like
legs.
How do you get your? I'm sorry for touching you. How do you get your thigh muscles so damn strong?
Well, they've always been big because I've always been a big kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kicking for so long, even taekwondo, just coming up. Mm-hmm. So I've always had mass in my legs, but, you know, mm-hmm. going to strength and conditioning, doing heavy squats, mm-hmm. doing heavy cleans, mm-hmm. clean and jerks, deadlifts, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Just can we a bunch do a double leg one? I don't know if we did a double leg one against the... Right. So here, I...
that break lasted 15 seconds? All
right. So here, George... So, okay, so I have a double leg.
Is it on the cage?
Well, that's against the cage.
Okay.
So I'm like this.
On the
like,
cage.
Yeah, I'm like this. Because I've seen this.
Okay, so the biggest thing.
Right here. I'm right here. I have a double leg. I'm trying to take him down.
The biggest thing, since I'm on the cage, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I want to be to the side or do I want to be straight forward? I want to be the side, right?
Yeah, you want to be the side.
Because I can fight.
You could.
I can put all my weight, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I can use my hips.
Yeah.
If I get stuck here, not
then
only
I can
do
pick
I get
and lift up.
You can pick
Yeah.
You can do whatever.
Yeah.
From here,
yeah.
You notice my feet.
Yeah. Oh, one of them's. Wait, get that. One of his feet's like.
They're all. Both my feet.
Get the technique press. All
right. So, not only that, Steve.
Yeah.
But you see how it makes it hard for you to.
Yeah, I can't.
To reach around and
grab,
right?
Yeah. It is harder.
I make it longer on that.
Yeah, it makes it longer.
So get in on more of a double. So there. So. Same thing.
Yeah.
I can push at the head.
Yeah.
I can whizzer. But first I want to do, especially when you get two arms
connected
like this, is I want to fight a wrist.
Oh.
Because now when I fight a wrist, what do you got?
Single. I have a single leg.
You can
outside
go to a single.
You have an outside single leg.
So you go to a single, right?
Yeah, right here.
Same thing we just did.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's
right?
It. Okay.
I can get out. I can circle out.
Yeah.
If you do get a guy that's lazy.
Yeah. Oh, then you can get. Oh.
If you get a guy that leaves his head out.
Yeah.
I can still choke from there.
Wow. Interesting. Thank you. Okay.
This one.
Oh, okay.
Wow, dude. So what people don't realize, because like you're showing me this stuff, I used to wrestle,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff's new to me.
Well, it's different because
it's it's way different.
And
so let the viewers know how much of a difference collegiate wrestling, college wrestling is to UFC Ultimate Fighting Wrestling.
Well,
what are the main differences?
It's a lot different just for the fact if you look at John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, okay? Uh-huh. On paper, Daniel Cormier is a far superior wrestler.
But John took him down.
But John took him down. I remember that fight.
John
took him down, and it's because it's knowing space. And it's striking your way into a takedown. Or, you know, because in wrestling, and we went over this in the first podcast
too.
In wrestling, we're both here.
We don't
have to worry about punches. So
or knees.
Or any of it.
Yeah.
So we're starting really close.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hand fighting the whole time, mm-hmm. and we're, you know, we're trying to snap down. Mm-hmm. Where that's all kind of thrown out the window in MMA,
mm-hmm,
until
mm-hmm.
you actually make contact with the person.
Right.
Because we start standing.
What's the best takedown for MMA?
Man,
It all depends
because people, you know, you ask me, I really like clinch.
Well, how does Khabib, you know, because you did the defense on that underhook.
Yeah.
How is it that this guy could hold his position like that? Because he's that strong.
He's a very physical guy.
He's that much stronger?
Yeah. He wrestled bears.
So with that underhook that he had, it's a different kind of power they're feeling. They're like, oh. Because I see it in their eyes when Khabib does that. Something changes in their eyes. Like, they look at their coach dude, this guy's strong.
It's a battle, offensive and defense.
Yeah.
Defensive. There's defenses, but just because you know that defense doesn't mean the guy's going to let up. That's the same thing with Ben Askren I was talking about. What's frustrating about Ben Askren is he can shoot from a mile away knowing he's not going to get the takedown off that shot.
He'll shoot like that far.
He'll shoot.
A double?
Yeah, he'll shoot because he knows, okay, once I make contact with him, I'm going to be three or four moves ahead of the guy. He's not going to be able to keep up, and I'm going to get him to the ground. That's why he's so frustrating to wrestle, because...
Have you wrestled that guy?
Yeah. He was our coach for a long time, and I've done work with him.
Isn't he funky, though, too? Explain.
That's what the funk is. The funk isn't strength. What the funk is...
Explain to the viewers what funk wrestling is.
What funk wrestling is, is it's kind of like chain wrestling. It's... He's not using a lot of strength. He's just using a lot of movement, and he's doing things correctly, because what he does is he shoots. If he shoots, what do I have to do? I have to respect it, and I have to try to defend it.
Yes.
Okay, I defend that takedown. He's already on to another takedown. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's doing that. Okay, I'm defending that. Well, while I was defending that, he's on to something else. So right. He chained three or four moves into one. And that's what gets people to the ground. I find it's not terribly hard to defend a takedown if it's one strong takedown. Strong power double, and you get them off and they break away and they start again, that's fine.
That's fine. That's what you want.
What makes wrestling at like a high level very effective in MMA is chain wrestling.
Give him an example of chain wrestling. So you miss a double, then you go for a high crotch or a drag, then you keep going.
I'll peek out, try to take the back. If they recenter up, I'm gonna shoot for a low angle.
So it's just like constant.
And that's one thing. You know, that's one thing Ben says. He says, when I go for a takedown, my only thought is I'm getting him to the ground. It's not I'm gonna attempt this, and then if it doesn't work, I'm gonna break away. Wow. Even if he shoots a takedown, if it's a terrible takedown, he doesn't care. Uh-huh. They still have to respect it. They still have to defend it. They defend it. He's on to a new move, and he goes and goes and goes and goes. And that's where even guys like Khabib and Barboza, you watch that fight?
Yeah, I saw that fight.
He wasn't doing that underhook thing I was telling you about.
That's the position I saw.
He wasn't doing anything super fancy. No. He just got in his face.
No, he kept that underhook, and then he just kept him against the fence there.
Every time Barboza would try to get out or move away, that's when he took advantage of taking him out.
Another thing I noticed that Khabib did, he grapevined his leg.
The legs from top.
Yeah, so why do that?
Because in MMA, it's kind of when we're on our back, everybody knows they want to get to a full guard. If I can be in full guard, I can threaten with submissions. I can try to get up. And I can see punches coming.
Yeah.
So what he does when he does that, he grapevines the legs. I can't stand without getting one leg to the side.
Oh, so he's taking the legs out
because how am I going to get up with my upper body?
It's brilliant. I'm not going to be able to get up.
So he's very smart. Once it hits the ground, he tries to nullify, take the legs.
He takes that one leg. He always takes that leg away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'll grapevine it.
Grapevine it.
So that guy's only left with that one arm. And he's looking at his coach like, I don't know what to do.
And it sets up.
And Khabib's, he keeps doing that uppercut.
It sets up submissions too, because you get someone in a position like that, even a trained fighter. If you get their legs trapped and they're taking punches, we got to move. We can't stay here and just take punches, even if they're small.
But what are you supposed to do when you're Barboza?
That's when you start turning, and that's when you give up back, and that's where chokes and stuff like that come.
So it gets more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all chain. You know, and that's the biggest thing in MMA. That's the biggest change, because MMA started with style versus style versus style versus style.
I remember the old Gracie.
The old days,
and
right?
Then,
now
Don Fry.
And then it got to a part where it's like, okay, we need to be good at everything. So we need to train kickboxing, wrestling, jujitsu. Mm-hmm. And everybody was training them, but they were training them separate. So they'd have a boxing coach for boxing, and they'd have a kickboxing coach for kicks. Mm-hmm. They'd have a wrestling coach, but very rarely would they put it all together. Now you have guys, they have good coaches.
Like Ortega. He's a good example. Yeah, Brian Ortega.
Yeah.
He does it like.
They have guys that they train the transition of what happens in a fight. You know? Teammate, Anthony Pettis, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he just fight? He was supposed to fight Michael Chiesa.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Connor thing.
What happened? God.
Yeah. Both my teammates didn't get fight.
That sucked.
He didn't get to fight. And then Paul Felder,
teammate. When Connor threw it through the bus.
Yeah.
So and then Anthony missed out. He cut weight for that?
They rescheduled it for July.
Does he still get 7th. Paid even though that...
He got paid his show purse. I still think he should have got paid his win. Because
that's like not his fault.
It's a really weird...
Scenario.
Weird scenario. Because he didn't get to fight.
And then Paul Felder, my other teammate, he was supposed to fight Aliquinta, and Aliquinta got moved to fight Khabib. So they both didn't fight.
Oh, that sucks.
It was a bummer. But
that sucks, man.
But when he fought, getting back to my point, when he fought Charles Oliveira, Oliveira is a really good black belt, really good submission, and Anthony choked him out with a guillotine, you know, because it's the mix that opens up our opportunities. Even if you're fighting against a good black belt, if you're beating them up, striking, and you get them beat up and worried, they're gonna make mistakes and they're gonna expose themselves.
Who's like the most? Why? Okay, I'm thinking about the most complete fighter, and the one name that comes to mind is Demetrius Johnson.
Yes,
What makes him so damn good? Because that no one could get him.
What I just said.
What he mixes?
Name an area he's bad at.
He's good at wrestling.
He's good at wrestling.
He's very fast.
How many submissions does he have? He has quite a bit.
He does flying knee bars and he does arm bars. Yeah, flying arm
and,
bars.
And here's the thing. I give him a lot of respect because he's fighting guys at 125. At 125, those guys are so good and they're so fast and they're so squirmy.
And good
it's
at
hard
wrestling.
To do anything. Yeah.
And they're good at wrestling.
They're good at wrestling.
Like, who's the Henry Cejudo?
Cejudo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
And Demetrius beat him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the wrestling, he nullified the wrestling.
I mean, because it's like I said, it's a different MMA wrestling and collegiate, even Olympic, they're different, you know?
Is Demetrius strong? You think he's real?
I think he's strong. I think
he looks more faster than strong.
I think, well, that speed equals power, you know?
Oh.
If you got fast, crisp punches, it doesn't matter how much you can bench lift or, you know, any of that. You're still going to put somebody down. It's still going to hurt.
So how does one obtain speed in this level of fighting? Like what do you
mean? There's certain speed drills. I feel like some people just have an advantage.
Because naturally?
Genetically.
Uh-huh.
But bag work. Bag work's that,
so
one
boxing.
Of the biggest thing. Boxing, yeah. I
like
mean, just knowing how to hit efficiently, hit right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And, you know, and even with, like Connor says, and it shows in all his fights, it's not Connor's the fastest guy.
He's
his
not.
Timing.
It's timing.
Even Eddie Alvarez said it. He's like, it wasn't like his power. It wasn't like I got hit and I was just like crushed. It was the timing. He hit at the right time when he was coming in. He knew when to strike and where to strike.
So would you say that's the most important timing?
Yes.
So timing beats speed.
Yes. Yep.
Every time?
Every time. If you know how to
time. How do you get that down, the timing?
Drilling.
Shadow boxing?
Drilling, just practicing. Just going through the motions. Drilling with, you know.
So what is drilling? Like, for those of the people
drilling,
out there who don't know, what
like,
kind of drilling
if,
are you talking
if,
about?
You know, if I'm going to give like a Rufus sport, you know how we drill.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. We're not throwing light punches because we're making it realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're doing a drill like, okay, throw three punches and a kick, whatever kick.
Mm-hmm.
We know that three punches are coming in a kick.
Mm-hmm.
We got to defend it strong, but it's a safer way to do it and get the timing down rather than trying to do it in sparring, because in sparring, it's a chaotic thing. And that's, you know, that's where you can get hurt. So you really don't want to
hurt yourself. Yeah,
you don't
want,
if I'm going with the top guy, if I'm going with Anthony, it's hard for me to practice something new because he's so good. So if I'm trying
he's
to
that practice, good in practice.
If I'm trying to do something that I'm not used to, he's
like give
not,
me an example.
He's not the right guy to use it on.
Like a Darce choke or something.
We're sparring. No, like let's say striking. You know,
oh.
If I'm trying to work, you know, my and I've done this with Anthony. This is what's funny because I'm a southpaw. You know,
okay,
I've always been a southpaw.
Yeah.
So
explain to them that's
with,
leading with your right
that's
hand.
That's leading with my right hand.
Okay.
So you know, one day I want to try sparring standard. You know,
so it'd
left
be like
hand
switch,
forward,
switch boxing.
Switching stances.
Yeah, yeah, switch
stance. That's something that, like, with Anthony, I'm not going to have a lot of success because that's something he knows that I,
you don't,
I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not as efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll light me up, you know? So that's what I mean by drill work. Drill work is it's a way to train hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intense training, but it's controlled. It's very hard to get hurt. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's the way to
well,
break
well,
down.
What are the repetitions? Like, how long do you guys go? Like, three minute? Like, go at it. 3 minutes.
I mean, sometimes.
How long are these rounds?
Sometimes it might just be for 30 minutes. We might be going back and forth.
That long?
Yeah.
You don't get gassed?
Well, that's another thing. We're drilling, and it works on conditioning.
Conditioning.
And it's not like we have to be going gung-ho. Like, as soon as I'm done with the combination, he has to go right away.
Yeah.
We do drills like that. But that's not how it works. all right. the time. How, I'm just saying that for timing.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do. We're learning a new skill, right?
Right.
So we're not going as chaotic as we're just going to spar. So try to light the guy up, because if I'm sparring somebody and they're trying to do damage on me, it's not the best time to practice something new. I'm going to go to what I know because I need to save my ass and
right.
You know,
put What's it on. The best thing to do right before a match, like to mimic a real bout, like. Well, I mean, what kind of sparring is that?
Like where right it's before
like
real, a fight?
It's like the closest thing to the fight.
Right before a fight or preparation?
Preparation.
I mean sparring.
So helps.
But the thing with sparring, it to be realistic, you can't do that shit 2-3 times a week.
You can't?
No, because it's too hard. Think about it. We got guys that have problems with concussions now, right?
Oh, that's.
You think concussions really come from the fights? If we fight 2-3 times a year, that's not very much.
So it's in training.
It's in training.
You get hit your head, or
yeah, I mean you're gonna get hit. It's yeah, the sport yeah, we yeah, do. Yeah. So it's part of the territory, but you got to know how to monetize it and do it the right way. So we spar hard once a week, beginning of the week when everybody's fresh. Yep.
Once a week,
and then you know we might do some light sparring and stuff, but most of it's just drill work. Drill, drill, drill. And that's what Demetrius Johnson does. He drills a lot. He doesn't spar a whole lot. He drills.
So does that mean takedowns or wrestling too?
Well, just what I said. Anything. If I'm drilling a move on the ground, we drill that move 1,000 times until like...
Muscle memory.
We don't think about it. Yeah. We just do it. It's the same thing with striking.
Does that help in a real fight? Let's say, because you drilled it so much, let's say you're in a position like, oh, I could do a rear naked choke here. Like it just comes like that. You're not even thinking about it.
Yeah, it just goes. Wow. Because that's what's going to give you the advantage over the other guy because you're doing it. In fighting, it's split seconds, right?
Yeah.
So if to give people a frame of mind, we're not in there like, okay, I'm going to do this. That didn't work. Okay, I'm going to do this. We've trained so much that a lot of time, even in fights, I can't remember
what you're doing.
What I did.
You can't?
I got to watch it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I did do that. Because it's so fast, and it's all muscle memory.
When you're in the octagon, is your mind clear? Like, you don't think of anything?
It's clear. But
are you
I'll
going
you,
on
it's,
just impulses?
It's clear, but it's tunnel vision. The craziest thing about it is because, especially the way the UFC is, you walk out, right? I like to use my walkout as like an adrenaline dump because you get to see, you see all the lights, you see the crowd.
Yeah, there's the ring girls, there's Bruce Buffers there.
And enjoy it. Because it's like
Rocky.
Yeah.
It's
like skydiving, dude. Like, this ain't normal people shit.
No.
Most of these people aren't going to experience this. So kind of like soak it in. Enjoy that shit.
So you're like a modern day gladiator for real.
Yeah,
like the gladiator
that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
Drink that shit in. Drink that.
George looks so scared. Right?
Drink that shit in.
He ain't gonna do nothing to you, man. He's a
Get
nice
amped
guy.
Up. but no, dude.
Yeah. So go back.
You drink it in, right?
What do you mean by adrenaline dump, though? Like for those of who don't know
adrenaline
what that is.
Adrenaline dump. So
you're that
adrenaline.
Like,
you know, it's like the when a mother sees their kid under. You've heard that, right? Mother under a car, their kids
she
under a car, and they pick it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your body knows, it's anticipating, it knows what it's going to do. Mm-hmm, so it's kind of like you get a little boost of strength. That's what that adrenaline is, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard of adrenaline needles, right? When someone, they got those adrenaline needles for, I don't know quite
someone
what
they under drugs, and they can,
someone, if they're dying or something, they give you
Yeah, that's like
needle.
In Pulp Fiction when they do that to
the adrenaline
heart. Yeah.
And it like, it, you're
yeah,
like
yeah,
fucking,
yeah.
whoa, you're uh-huh. you're Superman. That's what it's like. It's
yeah,
like
Uma
a
Thurman,
little,
yeah.
it's like a little dose of that. And so adrenaline dump, pretty much what it is when that's going on, you feel great, everything's fast. But once it goes down, that's when like your lungs are going and your heart's beating. So it's like an adrenaline dump. Like that's why I try to do that adrenaline dump backstage.
You do it.
I do a hard, like I'm blasting pads and I feel tired, but I fought so many times. I know. Okay.
So you're working slow, that hard slow. Even before the match?
Just a little bit.
Okay,
a little bit.
To
just,
get that dump.
Just like a 3-minute like blast just to dump it, to get that adrenaline out. And then that way, when I go out there,
you're more focused.
I'm kind of in cruise control.
Oh.
I'm kind of like, you know, I'm using my, I'll still have adrenaline, but I'm not going to tweak out and then gas myself out, you know? And
how
you see
common,
that.
How common is that when they
well,
don't dump,
you,
do
you
the
see
adrenaline
it, you
dump?
See it, you see it with heavyweights a lot, right? A lot of heavyweights,
right,
like
right,
even,
right.
I'm a huge fan, but like Anthony Johnson.
Oh, Rumble Johnson?
Yeah. Like, he knocks everybody out in the first round because he hits hard. You know,
is that because of his adrenaline?
Well, I think he hits hard, but yeah. I think part of it is his adrenaline.
Yeah.
But you notice if you can survive it, that's when it's...
He gasses
that's
out.
When you start gassing out. Well, who's the other, the heavyweight that just lost to Stipe?
That one black guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
God, I can't. Norjganu.
Yeah, Ganu.
Naganu. Yeah,
Naganu.
He was the same way. He was a beast. Nightmare. Yeah, he's a nightmare. Beast. You don't want him hitting you.
But I noticed that other fight when they survived that.
Yeah.
When he went to the third round, he beat him.
Yeah. Well,
Stipe.
Because he had that, he coasted. He used that. And
he was taking him down.
Yeah. Because at that point, when you're that fatigued, and you adrenaline dump that hard, it's really hard to come back. It's hard to recover. So if the other guy's just kind of coasting on his bicycle, he'll just take it to you, you know? Makes it easy.
How important is this stuff in fighting? Is this
so
very
important?
So this is the stuff they don't talk about. Like, this is very important.
This is
important.
Like behind the scenes. This is
very important.
But, I mean, going back, like Jens Pulver said.
Because I've heard Joe Rogan commentary, but he doesn't explain exactly how you're explaining it.
Yeah, well,
he goes, after the adrenaline, you know, and then they talk about it, but not in depth.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell just from personal experience.
Yeah, because you've
I've
been
done
there.
It, you know, I can tell you. And like, going back to Jens Pulver in this documentary, he said it's like a plunge. Like, it's kind of like before you walk out that door to start making the walk, you're questioning, like, do I even want to do this? Why am I doing this? Like, this is
so
fucking
those are
crazy.
Some thoughts that enter your mind
to an extent. Not that it might not be
that
dramatic.
That would scare me if you're about to do that.
It's
and
scary.
You're because you're like, it's like skydiving. You're like, I don't know if I want to jump, guys.
Think of this. If you're not a trained fighter, someone throws a punch at you, what are you going to do? Flinch.
I'm going to flinch.
Right?
Yeah. Look at that. Kirby got scared.
You're anticipating it. You're afraid of it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Even though we train to do this, You can fight you can fight all the time. Stay very regular. You're still always going to be afraid.
Always.
Our health's on the line.
Yeah,
our health's on the line. Mm-hmm. What if I go in there, I throw a low kick, he checks it, and I break my leg like Anderson Silva? There's a lot of injury. There's a lot of bodily harm that goes into this. So like Jens Pulver says, it's like the plunge. That's what it's like. It's like, man, do I want to do this? But then once you start walking, it's like, fuck, I can't back out now.
You got to do it.
We're fucking going. Yeah, dude.
So when you start feeling
hot
that.
To cold. Like, yeah. Real fucking
Oh, that's
quick.
What you mean by the plunge.
The plunge.
It's just like.
It's like, okay, because they have the camera guys coming in, like 5 minutes. You're on deck, 5 minutes. So then you're like.
So when they do that, like how you, like, are
I'm
you.
Pacing.
Are
I'm
you
pacing.
Like.
Because my energy, my adrenaline's going. And then, you know. When they go, all right, it's time to go. You're up. And they got the cameras, like, they're rolling
following
back.
You?
Yeah, following you and rolling back. That's when I get the last adrenaline.
I love watching that part of the fight. Like the Diaz brothers with the stuff they're doing.
Yep.
That's my favorite part is, like, the build-up.
The build-up.
Yeah. That's, like, dramatic.
Yeah. And that's what it is. That's why, like, my adrenaline dump, I don't like a cool, reserved walkout. You know, a lot of people would just be, you know, chilling, jamming to their song, whatever.
There's some people that run.
Some people run, and that's
they run
that's
all
thing.
The way, then
me,
they put the Vaseline on your face.
Me, I got to look out for security because I'm jumping in the air
all the way to
the fucking. I got some crazy EDM music going, and I'm fucking tweaked
up. Oh, do
you
choose your own music?
Yeah. Why does he think that?
Oh, that's crazy.
Do you think they just give us a random
song? I don't know these things.
But yeah,
like you gotta clear a walkout to Whitney.
Yeah.
But that's like my last adrenaline dump. And then when I get to the cage, they they do the introducing and all that, and that's when you kind of get the heavy breaths, get ready.
Then
it's tunnel vision. Then it because
wait, when they're announcing it in this corner,
when they announce it, that's when you're like that guy. The only way out of here is fucking stopping this guy. That's it.
And are you doing the stare down with him? Like
100%. I never let my eyes leave.
So pretend I'm him.
Okay. This is going to be intense. Huh?
Okay. I get the picture.
I can't even. But and it's not, you know, I used to do it as kind of like intimidation. I don't think it's intimidation for me anymore. I think it's I'm so focused. My eyes are on you. I'm thinking about killing you. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about killing you because I have to stop you to get out of this cage.
Wow,
It's like intense.
It's intense.
It's very.
Wouldn't you say you're like a rare breed? There's not a lot of people that can live their whole lives that will never experience that.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of close to that in wrestling, because I used to wrestle back in high school, is going, like, it's like the state wrestling finals, mm-hmm. or something, where mm-hmm. everyone's watching yeah. you. It's and the main thing. Dim. The lights are dim. Yep. And it's like, but you're doing that every time you go out.
Yeah.
So you're doing like a final, like a state wrestling finals yep. every time.
It's just, and that's why you see a lot of wrestlers have a lot of success, because the mentality.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Because in wrestling, you're mean. You're not nice.
No.
So it's the same thing. But now we're adding punch shit that's gonna damage you, so it's like on a whole nother.
So what does that level. Do to your mind to think of those other aspects of combat? Like, this guy could really bloody me up or fuck, really mess me up.
It does, and it makes you nervous, as it should.
It should,
but in a good way. Because if I go out there and I'm relaxed, like, I'm just gonna steamroll this dude,
there's no way.
And then I get hit, then it's like, oh shit.
Has that happened? Where you're not all the way there, then you get hit, and then it wakes you up?
I would say I was too when I fought Darren Cruikshank, I was too relaxed.
Oh, you were?
And I fed into everybody like, oh, man, he's trained at our gym. You're gonna take him out easy. This is an easy fight, you know? And I kind of just assumed. I had a really good debut at 55, and I'm thinking I'm just going to go on.
Who's saying these things? Your teammates and your brother?
Just everybody.
Does your brother corner you?
My brother corners
me. Okay, that's what's up. Keone? Shout out to Keone. Yeah. This is so interesting to me, man.
Yeah, man. It's a whole psychological. It's a mind fuck, dude.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck. And that's why a lot of these guys that come, especially with MMA blowing up the way it is, these guys that come to the gym and they see this shit on TV and they just go, I want to fight without having any experience.
Oh,
I think I can fight. I tell them, no.
You could look at some new guy that walks into your gym and just know you could size them.
I've been doing it.
How do you do that?
The way they're sizing people up.
Oh, but that's fear, huh?
It's kind of like it's a fear. Yeah, but yeah. I feel like a lot of guys now want to do this because they want attention. They want the glory. And hey, that's why we
there's
do
a,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it feels good to get. There's no feeling like getting your hand raised.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a lot different than people think. It's not as simple. And a lot of these guys that do that, they train and they see what it takes to fight and train as hard as we do, and they can't hack it. You know, me, when I started doing MMA, I didn't start MMA to fight. I didn't do it to fight. I started rolling around doing jiu-jitsu.
But you wrestled too.
Barely. Because I was training like when I was 13, I started actually training MMA.
But when you're 13 years old?
When I was 13, with my brother in his basement. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was I started training with Keone because it was a fun way to stay in shape, and it was cool. Mm-hmm. We liked watching the UFC. Mm-hmm. We just did it. I didn't start fighting until I saw my teammate, Jesse Lennox, step up, fight, and steamroll, dude. And then I started thinking, oh, I could, if he can do this, I can do this, you know?
Oh.
So then it wasn't a thing like my career is going to be fighting. I took a short notice fight.
Oh, you still remember your first fight?
Yeah.
Like, what was that like?
What was crazy
is
about
it? 155, 145? I think it was at 55.
I took it on 2 weeks' notice. And the guy that I was fighting was actually training at Militage. And this is when Militage was like,
oh, shout out to Pat Militage. Yeah.
Pat Militage, a great dude.
Matt Hughes, a lot of
Of the legends.
A lot of dudes come from there.
And that's when they were the stack.
That's Iowa, dude.
I fought when they were the gym. Like that Matt was Hughes, one of the biggest, Tim Sylvia, yeah, Rich Tim Franklin, Sylvia. All the Drew Lawler, all those guys.
Yeah, Lawler was just the new guy there.
Yeah. I found out I was fighting Adam Moore, which was Nate Moore's brother, which was another dude from Militage that fought in the UFC.
Oh, he's a part of Militage?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude.
So I was fighting a Militage guy.
Yeah.
So like it was one
so
of those,
meaning that he trains with all them
he
dudes.
He trains with all those guys.
Yeah.
Yep. And he was, you know, I was definitely fed. They were trying to feed me. You know, they wanted to get a win for this guy. So I got in there, and it's not like
what do you mean by fed? What do you mean by that?
Fed? What we call feeding. Like,
well, is that a term?
Like, if we're trying to build somebody's record, we're going to put them against somebody that shouldn't be in there with them. That's not as good, so they can get a quick
highlight.
So
you're his feed.
So I was the feed.
He's like, because this guy is his first match.
And I had to lie about my age because I was 16.
You were 16
years old. You had to be 18. I lied about my age.
16 years old, dude.
I said I was 18, so I fought at 16. But the whole thing was kind of like I'm fighting because I love to do this, mm-hmm. no matter what happens, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to have fun doing it. And it was, I was nervous, but, I just kind of went with it. But I literally Pat Milted Spencer Fisher.
Were they all in his, were they in his corner?
In his corner.
That must have been, so I was, did that psych you out, dude?
Not it more lit a fire under my ass. Like, man, this could be this big. This could be big if I won this.
Because that guy, and people who don't know who Pat Miletich, this guy is a monumental guy.
The way I look at Pat is he was kind of at that turning point when, like, there was all, you know, different martial arts and stuff. Pat was, like, one of the first guys to mix it all.
But Matt Hughes,
into his own style.
But Matt Hughes was champion in UFC for a long time. Yeah,
but he trained with Pat. But Pat was a champion before he was.
I remember. You know? Yeah.
And Pat's the guy that kind of started putting things together.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
making
yeah.
it like a MMA as a full.
Uh-huh. Who's in your corner? So they you just
I
got
had
thrown
my brother
out there?
And my coach Dave Scherzer.
So you had two dudes in your corner.
Yeah, I had a couple dudes in my corner.
And you're 16 years old.
Yep. And I ran through the dude. Beat him everywhere, and then I choked him out in the third, and then that was after that. That's when I was like, okay, we got something.
You wanted
we,
to do that.
We can because, and it's the first time like in an MMA fight having your hand raised.
Describe said, that feel like. I was. Is that better than any drug that even, you've ever? It's
I
like
I can't describe it because
I mean
in
it
fighting,
must be like
even my coach Duke Rufus says it, dude. Winning is just it's the best. It's the best fucking feeling ever. Losing is the worst. You get no in between. If I have a good fight, even me and Bobby Green, that's very like, it's just a
competitive
fight.
It was close,
back
dude.
And forth.
It was close.
When he wins, I still, I'm
if you
not
had
like,
one more
well,
takedown, I think you could, yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, it's a good fight, but in the back of my head's like, I fucking lost.
Now, like, that's interesting. But how do you deal, like, in this game, how do you deal with that, man? Because it's like, it's all about, you said it's all about winning.
You
want
to hear something super cheesy?
Yeah.
Just like Rocky movies, dude. Keep moving forward.
It's like
my
Rocky.
Coach always says, it's not where you start, but where you end.
So it's like getting back on the horse.
You see guys like Matt Brown. Matt Brown had a
he was good,
he had like a 10-10 record, and then he started
coaching now.
Yeah, and then he went on a spree in the UFC. You know.
Yeah.
And so like, it's all mindset. A lot of guys that lose a lot of fights, it's kind of like, okay, you know, is it time to hang it up? And there's a lot of variables, what head damage and stuff like that. There's a lot of variables, but if as long as your head's good, and even if you lose, if you keep going, you're bound to run into some, you know, some good luck and a streak. The thing is with MMA is it's so sporadic and so crazy. You could lose or win on any given night, you know. Damn, I could fight Bobby Green 20 times, and you know, I could win 12, 13. He could win, you know, he could win the same 12, 13. It's just,
would you let me, Craig and Griffin corner you one? That would be amazing.
Speaking of being fed, if I was being fed somebody,
that's how you know.
But what if Griffin said some crazy, like, dude, pretend it's your dire promise, man.
Destiny. I don't want to start laughing in the middle of a fight.
But what if he says something?
Golden gun that motherfucker. Incinerate him.
That'd be amazing. We're good on time. I feel like we just started. We good on time?
Yeah, I was. That's how it is. I want to let Eric get to his food and get to Korean barbecue, and we got a great inspirational ending here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, let's end it with this, man, because we got to show up. Your next bout, we got to. Would you like one of us? I would love to attend your next one, or at least
if. And here's the deal.
Yeah,
I get four tickets. If all you guys come, I will give each of you a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next fight, if you and Craig want to make a thing of it, and even Griffin, I got all you guys covered.
That's what you're gonna win that one, dude. Because
you
know something.
You're there.
Yeah, we're there.
You're there. The fire
team. Oh
my
God.
Okay, I want to end with one more thing.
Emotional.
I got to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're kind of getting the butterflies.
A little bit.
We're supposed to be getting a WFE tattoo.
I haven't designed it yet. She doesn't. Hates that. That's like my better half.
Why does she hate it?
That's my better half.
I want to hear. Okay.
Yell it, babe. Yell it.
Let's let her explain. Yell it.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's already got ink on.
Okay,
him,
let's
know?
Think
like,
of
that's
this.
Me,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Not to toot my own horn. I think I'm a pretty cool dude.
Okay? You are. You're.
I got
cool.
two Destiny logos.
You do have the. He's got the dead orbit.
Do they look? Do they look cool or do they
awesome.
Look bad?
Awesome. You look like the Terminator,
they
man.
Look cool. And we don't need a big thing.
Just gonna be a dinker.
Just a tiny dinker to say,
dinker.
Hey, we did it. And this is, you know what? And I'm just gonna blow this out of the water. What are people gonna say? What if WFE, you know, later on isn't a thing? Doesn't matter. Hey, Steve,
it's just friends
are
playing?
We still friends?
Yeah, dude, come
have
on.
Have we had great times playing? How many
the
hours
best.
Have we spent playing this game?
I can't even count them.
That's all I need for I me. That's all I need
and,
for
and
me,
the
right?
thing about, and on top of that, I've actually improved a little bit, like, just playing with you guys. Because I look at the weapons you guys are using and like, oh, what's their setup like? And, you know, I've never used a hunter.
You know what
and
I like?
And then I used it because you were using a hunter. And I was like, you know what? I'll try a hunter out. You know what I mean?
You know what I like? You yeah. know what I like?
Yeah,
about,
it's fun.
You, even though you piss me off because you don't play with us and you go secret.
I played with
at
you
least,
last night.
You did. And at least you're getting better.
Yeah.
Craig, like, just... That's out the wagon. He ain't going to try and get better, you know? Griffin, he ain't going to get any better. So who's going to do all of it?
But he has his moments, though.
Craig has his moments.
Yeah, Craig has his moments.
But I'll tell you, staying at his house pisses me off. He's got that monitor. He needs to use that fucking thing. Because I play on his TV, and it's
so
garbage.
Big.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't even function the same. You know?
So are you looking for the DLC?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think they're going in the right direction.
Okay. So convince her. I mean, like, I don't know, man. So I don't want to be in bad stains with her.
Well,
if it's a dinker, babe, you want my, like, a little dinker on
and
your wrist.
Think, okay, let's think of places where, like, maybe...
Right here.
Does
like
it have to be on
three
your
letters.
Arm?
Look,
can you do it somewhere else?
I can do it on my ankle.
Somewhere no one can see it. And, hey, let's think... Let's think what's at stake. If he doesn't do it, Craig doesn't do it. Craig doesn't have a
well,
tattoo.
We
doesn't have one tattoo.
We gotta get.
He's gonna get. He's gonna get one tattoo.
If Craig doesn't,
that's the thing. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
That's the thing.
If I'm not doing it, if Craig doesn't go
honestly,
first,
honestly, I know
because I've been in the chair.
I know
you've
Steve.
Been, obviously,
yeah.
been
I know
in the
Steve
chair.
We'll do whatever.
George went
Craig.
In the chair. You've been
Craig,
in the chair.
We've brought
Bryce
this
had,
up, and me and Steve are like, "Yeah, man." Steve's like, "I'll design it tonight."
I'll
Craig's,
design it tonight.
Craig's in the back. Like this. And I'm like, Craig, you hear that tattoo? He's like, even further back.
Oh, we're vlogging
like,
that.
You know.
Oh, we're
so,
vlogging
yeah,
that.
Dude.
We're
so
vlogging
I think,
that.
I think it would be, you know, fuck it. You guys are my brothers. I spend more time with
man.
You guys than I do my, like, real friends.
Dude, you're
going
to win
home.
Your next one, dude. I feel you got, dude, you got to do it, dude.
I got to.
You
got,
yeah,
I literally
you gotta,
have
to. You have to do it. You don't understand. It's like when my brother used to watch my matches, I feel that invested in it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how I was at your event? Like, I was at her family event, the other fight. And then I literally, like, had to go. I gotta watch this. I got to watch it. I literally watched it at a restaurant. I had to go in the front. Yeah. And I watched it on my... Remember, babe? I was like, I got to watch. He's about to fight.
It's worse so, watching your family members, do you think so?
Or your boys. Because
my brother...
Oh,
brother
my
fought
God,
Ortega,
dude.
I was watching it.
He fought Ortega?
Yeah.
Brian Ortega?
He lost a split decision. I thought he won.
He got
I gotta
split
show
decision
you the fight.
With Brian Ortega?
I got to show you the fight.
When was this?
This was right the fight right before Ortega got into the UFC.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
So, like, yeah, but I was screaming bloody murder, dude. There was neighbors coming to my door, like, making sure everything's okay. Because I'm throwing shit. I'm up, like, shouting
yeah, yeah,
at the
yeah,
TV,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know?
Oh, because so, I see how the Diaz brothers, when Nate fought Connor,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't let Nick in there, and I saw him pacing back and forth,
yeah,
and he was getting interviewed. He was like, they won't even let me. It's my brother, man. You
it
know?
Goes back to the same thing. When I'm fighting, tunnel vision, I'm focused. I'm nervous, but it's a different type of nervous. When you're watching somebody you know, like I'm watching Keone fight, and I'm a fighter, I
want to
control him. Like
oh,
a video game.
Right,
because
right,
I can
right,
see
right.
everything third person. I can see shit he can't see.
That's what,
so I'm like, Keone, do this,
yeah.
do this, do this. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
and I'm,
yeah.
I'm just
oh,
losing
man.
It.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
you
I
corner
that.
Him?
Yeah.
Did you? Right,
not
right,
not
right.
for that fight.
Yeah.
I had something going on. I think I was preparing for my own fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I cornered him the one before that, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the next one's coming in a few months, you think?
A little later in the year.
Okay.
Yep.
Ooh, we're waiting for that one.
You got tickets,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You got tickets. We'll make a whole thing
oh,
of it.
Oh, my God. Oh, and then going back to the tattoo, if Craig goes first, I'll design it.
We'll get Craig to go
yeah.
first. Or we could just make Craig get it, and then we don't get
Babe?
It. That would be. He would be, dude.
How
he'd
bad?
Be so fucking pissed. so fucking pissed.
What if I make, like I'll make a big one on his chest.
All right. We're doing something different, Craig. We're getting a huge fucking logo on our chest. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, that's we'll still talk about. Yeah, we'll see where Craig's at. Yeah, you know,
we'll get it. Hopefully next time. Is next he really podcast,
is he scared?
Stevie Weezy can show you his WFE tattoo.
It's gonna be a dinker. You know what I mean? I'm gonna get more. Right?
Yeah. Won't even notice.
Yeah, baby. Let's talk. We'll talk about it.
We'll let them talk. We'll let them talk.
Okay. Let's promote. Hey, let's. This is the end of it. Let's promote your social media and stuff.
Social media is Cokehead.
Cokehead,
but it's all one word: Cokehead, and then just UFC. Mm-hmm. That's my Instagram.
Yeah.
Twitter. Nobody cares about Twitter anyway, so we'll just do Instagram.
Instagram. Facebook.
I'm already maxed out.
Oh, what's
Facebook.
Our Xbox Live? What's your Xbox Live?
Should I give that out?
Ooh. I don't know.
Griffin
maybe.
Did that, and then Griffin's like, these people are always joining my party. I'll give it out. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
It's Phoenix UFC. So that's my game.
And mine's Stevie Weeby.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of you out there, I haven't been to the Lighthouse yet, so I just need you, Arrow, and another good player.
Me, you, Arrow, Gavinator.
Could Gavin do it?
Gavin could. Dude, we could do it. We can fucking do it. We just can't. I don't want to throw him under the bus. Having Craig or Griffin, it's going to be hard. We have to get blessed with some bad teams.
But okay, we'll see.
It's
Destiny
Craig's
too.
Craig's been there. All right? That's what I'm saying. We'll get
oh,
you there.
Man,
we'll get
hurt.
You there.
That hurts me so bad. That hurts.
But you got to understand, Craig got there the first week when there's a bunch of people.
And didn't Griffin go too?
No.
No, he's been.
No.
He's been.
No, he hasn't.
Creator Jake took him.
No, that was the first one.
Oh, that was the first one.
Yeah, that so wasn't. It's
Destiny
a different dynamic.
Too, he
yeah,
has
it's
gone.
A, it's a different dynamic.
Okay, let me do some. I think I have. So Little Ray's World Volume 4 is available at StevieWeebyBandCamp.com. Get your tickets for GrizzlyFestival.com. Monchi's playing there May 19th. At 3:10 p.m. Follow our new Instagram, Two Bunnies, the number 2 BUNNIEZ, and there's no Little Ray's World tonight because what do we got? Oh, these mics. Yeah. So make sure if you're on Amazon, because we're. Click the link below and get one of these beautiful mics. This is what we use. Click the link below. It's your Shure SM58. And this is what we use for the Stevie Weeby show.
There's links below. So
there's links below. Definitely buy one of these awesome microphones. We already did that, the oven. Right, Bryce, is that good?
Yeah, that's on there too, though. You buy that, buy it all.
Yeah, buy it all. Okay. Amazon Associates.
Let's do should we do an outro song?
No, we're good because we're late. We're running real late. We're running real late. We're running real late. With that being said, thanks for tuning in. Hey, easy, George.
We gotta do something, Bryce. Do not cut it. We gotta keep it going.
A little dance.
You know, this is the Stevie Weeby Show. Please subscribe to help the channel grow. You know, stuff like that. Come on, Steve. You know?
Is that a Michael Jackson's Thriller?